Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings in the name of the Lord and welcome to Warn Radio. This is Tower. I'm here with the Watchman and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page at warn-usa.com. And you can listen to our Warn Radio episodes on danaglennsmith.com and warn-usa.com. Warn Radio is on the following platforms: Amazon Prime Music and Podcast, Spreaker, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Deezer, Spotify, Anchor, and Pocket Cast. And do not miss these featured posts this week of our in-depth biblical articles and radio shows. Featured on both warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. God of Justice, Sovereign, Prophetic. Faith and the Idolatry King. Featured on danaglennsmith.com. Deceived, Sin, Skin, and That Within. In the Dark of the Night, There is Hope. The Law of Change and Bible Prophecy. Way of Truth, False Prophets, and Heresies. Featured on warn-usa.com. Ominous Babylon, Prophetic Book, Part 102 on Battle Line. Book of Hebrews, Son of God, Jesus Christ, Part 1. Christian Persecution Today, the Gospel News on Classic Warn Radio. And don't miss these WIBR Warn Radio weekly shows from March 6th through March 8th. Advocacy, March 6th. My Namesake, America's Revival, Battle for Truth, Miraculous Spreading Gospel, Christian Persecution. Battle Lines, March 7th. Salvation Cometh, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 208. Sound the Shofar, March 8th. The Word of the Lord, My Name, My Glory, Part 9. Be sure to get your copy of The Rising. It's a Christian fiction thriller by the Watchman Dana G. Smith, a story of personal survival, the struggle of a nation, and the love of two people set amid the prophetic landscape of perilous times. Check out The Rising. When he who opposes rises, believers overcome by faith. And you can get your copy of The Rising on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Ingram, Walmart. The Rising ebook can be found on Google Play. And you can also get your copy of The Rising by going to danaglennsmith.com. And while on the site, be sure to sign up for the WIBR Warn Radio newsletter and visit our Christian Books and Resource Shop. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's great to be here.
Yep, another Thursday night. Everything, well, we got snow. I guess that's kind of new for us.
Yeah, we haven't had much this winter, so it's nice. Nice to see snow on the mountain because we're pretty dry.
Yep. See, what else is going on?
Oh.
Well, social media is still nuts. There's a lot of issues on that. Biden, I don't know what he's doing.
I don't think he knows.
And, you talk about all the people that could cross the border and people already have. Nobody ever does anything.
It's pretty dangerous.
Except nothing. You know, that's what they do is nothing. They always tell us, though, when there's people that are crossing our border, they don't stop them. They just say, well, you know, you got
come
these,
on in.
You know, there's some terrorists that are going to be attacking. And, of course, the latest is out of Venezuela. They're letting out some more murderers to come to America, and they're all murderers. That's what they said. And, of course, that came from our government. You know, what would we do without a government that tells us that all these evil people are coming here, crossing the border, because our government won't stop them? And Biden won't do anything. The Democrats ain't doing anything. The Republicans don't get nothing done.
Venezuela wants to get rid of their criminals, so they ship them on a one-way plane to America.
I guess we need a whole bunch of ex-Vietnam vets to go down there. And maybe a few of those from a couple of the other wars. But then, you know, the government will probably attack them, throw their ass in jail, and let the others run around. I mean, that's how ludicrous this administration has been. At any rate, tonight we are in Isaiah. And, you know, you can follow a lot of the things that's happened in America by comparing it to Judah and what happened there. And we've been covering this whole thing, and we've covered a lot of parts that, you know, helps to explain and show you what happened to Judah. And so Isaiah covers a lot of that stuff, and you'll find it in our archives over on warren-usa.com. So there's a lot of issues here, and it's not as clear as you might think. It's clear when you look at Scripture and when you compare it to what we're doing. So, at any rate, we're on a Thursday night. Tomorrow's Friday. The weekend's coming up. And there's a lot of issues going on in the world today, especially in America. And, you know, this is an election year. But I've warned about America. So is Tower for a long, long, long time. And there are things that we're looking at occurring this year. And it's not going to be one of those years that you might think. This is going to be a very unusual type of year. There are things coming. And so at any rate, tonight, let us get into the midst of this, Tower.
Okay. The Wine Press, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 209, On Battle Lines. We now enter Isaiah's Chapter 63 and the Wine Press in Isaiah's Prophetic Book. The nations of men have had their way, and God has had an era of grace for the sons of men to repent under the sun and before God. He sent his only begotten Son to redeem man, even commanding all men to repent. However, in rebellion, the nation the nations and those who live in them made their choice. Now it is here. It is come. The time for judgment. Here the winepress, and for the year of the redeemed has come. There will not always be the upheaval and trouble on earth. There is a day that God will judge men and nations. There is a day for the redeemed to be finally and fully brought into God's kingdom in glory through Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah. He is the Almighty in Revelation chapter 1. Amen. So be it. Quickly come, Lord Jesus. And now back to you. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Well, indeed, this one is called the wine press. And whenever we mention wine press, we are talking about judgment. The grapes are in the press. And when the gears grind and the pressure is upon the grape juice that is blood red flows. And that's a process that wineries have been doing for years. Millions. Well, maybe thousands of years. But when we use it in the context that we're using it in, you know, and you can go back into Revelation and you can find the judgment. And the grapes, you know, there's sour and sweet grapes. The sour grapes are the wicked, and the sweet grapes are the righteous. But the wine press is in our verbiage when we discuss these things. Now see, in this Isaiah 63, we're beginning it. We've got six verses that we're looking at. And I'm going to read them because we're going to go back and study them. Now this is the six verses. Who is that, this that comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel and traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness and mighty to save. Now that is Yeshua. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation to me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in my anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I'll bring down their strength to the earth. And so when you really do look at that, you know, you know that there's someone coming from Bozrah that has been triumphant. And you know, when we look at that, Isaiah is picturing a triumphant warrior returning from conquest. He's unharmed, unwounded, and this is not a picture of the suffering Messiah, but this is a picture of the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Almighty in Revelation 1. It's a time of his of the redeemed and time for the judgment. And there are people that don't think this really applies to the Messiah. But when you see the whole thing, that's exactly what it applies to. Now you see,
This shows the Messiah as stained with his own blood, but though the warrior very clearly appears stained with the blood of others, not his own, the blood of vanquished foes, still that warrior may be the Messiah, and the reason it would be the Messiah is because when we read of the coming judgments in Revelation, and even when you look at Zechariah 14 when he comes, he is opposing the nations of men. He's coming in judgment. And we can see a lot of things in these verses. We can see things that we may construe to be the sufferings of Christ. Now, see, I don't suppose the conqueror is Yahweh or the Messiah. I say he is. And the reason being is because of the picture. But when we talk about the Redeemer, we need to understand something. You see, this is at the end of Isaiah. And Judah here has already been described as going into captivity, and they got out of captivity, and it was Persia who brought down Babylon, and Israel, Judah, was released. And all the way through, from Daniel to Cyrus, Israel was totally delivered. They went back to Judah, and they built, you know, they ended up finally building the temple. They took up back in Jerusalem, and they were restored there. And that's redemptive. That's a redemptive act. They were forgiven. Now, the lost tribes of Israel, which is the northern tribes, that never happened to them. Now, there are, as Israel, some of the Jews and those who monitor this have said that there's still some of the tribes there, and they always were. But paramount to the northern tribes, they were scattered among the nations because of the judgment by Sennacherib's father, who had invaded and took them captive and carried them away. So these are the differences there. And so that's the context now that we're looking at. And we're also looking at the Lord who judges in the valley of Jehoshaphat, the Lord who judged Edom because of the evil Edom did to Judah in betraying them to Babylon. And the context of the verses is judgment and the time of judgment and the time for the Lord's redeemed to be fulfilled. Now, these are the main things we're looking at. Because Edom is going, you know, they got judged. And they betrayed Judah to Babylon and even joined Babylon. Yes. And so they betrayed their own brother. And so these are the things that we look at. So when we look at this, we can see this mighty warrior. Now let me read verse 1 first before we go any further again. Now this is the beginning. Who is that comes from Edom? Now remember, Edom betrayed Judah, and they sided with Babylon against Judah. And it could have been because of their own survival. They were afraid to be overtaken, but they joined them. So who is he that comes from Edom with garments, dyed garments from Bozrah? This is that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Now that verse there can only be one. We've only got one Messiah, and that's Yeshua, Jesus Christ. And the way the picture is, he's coming back from Edom. Now, so we see this mighty warrior is the Lord. And we look at this. The valley of Jehoshaphat is also going to be involved here. And we'll be dealing with that in further verses of this. And he's covered in the blood of his enemies because this is the day of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord can be any time when we look at a judgment that happens. And when God destroys him, that is the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord happened when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. The day of the Lord happened when he was going to destroy Nineveh, but Nineveh repented. So God repented. But then, I think it was 70 years later, Nineveh was destroyed because they forgot why they repented and God destroyed them. Now see, there is no secret here that from the standpoint of Edom and the standpoint of Judah, the animosity is over blood. Because it was Edom who had betrayed them. Just one. You know, they're not... There's others. But the ones we're concerned about is here. And so here, the person approaching, you know, he's great in word and deed. He speaks in righteousness, in the zeal of his holiness, threatening judgment to the oppressors, and promising salvation to the oppressed. And what he threatens and promises, he carries out with mighty power. And he says, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. There's only one who is mighty to save. There is no other Lord, no other Savior, nothing. He is Yahshua. And in Revelation 1, he calls himself the Almighty. But when you see that he rides on a white horse, and he's coming with the armies of heaven when he arrives, and he's going to fight the armies of earth. He hasn't done that battle yet. So we can also see a future time in some of these verses as well. Now, see, Kyle and DeLeish explains this. And, you know, this is their take on it. This is a striking instance of the bold and abrupt manner of Isaiah. He does not describe him, that is, the warrior, as going forth to war, nor the preparation for battle, nor the battle itself, nor the conquests of cities and armies. But he introduces at once the returning conqueror having gained the victory, here represented as a solitary warrior moving along with majestic gait from Idumea to his own capital, Jerusalem. Yahweh is not unfrequently represented as a warrior. And the language of the people who see Yahweh returning as a triumphant conqueror from Idumea, struck with the stately, he's bearing, you know, as a warrior with his gorgeous apparel and with the blood on his raiment, and they ask, who could he be? This is a striking incident of the bold and abrupt manner of Isaiah. Well, when you look at it, it's right there in your face, you know. And if we look, let's look at Isaiah 42:13. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Yahweh goes forth as a mighty man, as a hero, a warrior. Yahweh shall stir up jealousy like a man of war, rouse his vengeance and indignation. Yahweh shall cry, yea, roar and shout. Yahweh shall prevail against his enemies. Now you see, we're using Yahweh, which is the personal name of God, name of God. This is what Judah uses. And so this is relates right back to their covenant, right back to who it is that they knew. But see, when we look at Isaiah as well, there are a lot of things in here. This is where we find the Messiah. In Isaiah, we have a picture of the suffering servant. This is not the suffering servant suffering. This is the glorified suffering servant. And that's what Yahshua had to do. He came and suffered, and he died on the cross. He was resurrected from the dead. And by the time John came around to write Revelation, the Lord appeared to him in Revelation chapter 1. And there's a whole introduction of everything he is and who he is. But the one thing he says, I am the Almighty. And he's been given that title by the Father because he's been given exclusive rights, responsibilities, and powers. And the reason he's glorified and he has this is because he came and he defeated sin, death, and the grave, was resurrected from the dead, and he came at the right hand of the Father. And he made intercession for the saints according to the will of God. But then there comes a time for him to move. And, you know, he's in a warrior motive. He's got to, the time of his redeemed is the key here as well. You know, God isn't always going to be sitting around saying, well, you know, y'all going to die and we're nothing we're going to do about it. No, there comes a time when the time of judgment comes. And see, the problem with the wicked, they don't ever think it'll come. But there comes a time when you die. But even when you die, that's not the judgment yet. Because Yahshua said when he was here that he would speak and raise the dead, and they would stand before him and he would judge them. Make no mistake, you know, this isn't a game here. Jeremiah 32:19, great in counsel and mighty in work is Jehovah or Yahweh.
Who was that? What was that
like? Jeremiah 32:19.
Thank you.
Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give to everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now that's Jeremiah 32:19. Jeremiah is the one that is warning Judah. They didn't listen to Jeremiah. They went into captivity, and after 70 years, God delivered them through the hand of Cyrus of Persia. You see? So when we look at this today, we're not looking at that part. That's already occurred. But we see in this that God does one thing. According to the fruit of your doings, that's what God does. And when you're a Christian, you have accepted the Lord, the provision that he has, because he died on the cross for all men, and all women who will call upon him can be saved from their sins. Because Scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And again it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the sentence that was placed upon humanity when man fell. And what Christ did was make the second death of none effect. Now the second death, the first death is when you put off this body. That was the original. Whoever sins, the body's going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. That's the first death. Then after this, the judgment. That's the second death. Now see, before Yahshua came, there was no, not much of a hope. They had a good place for the righteous. But see, after Yahshua came and triumphed and shed his blood, that provided the atonement for everybody. So this, you know, judgment is all about this. Judgment is all about what you're doing, and God is going to hold people accountable. Now, in Psalm 24, 1 through 10, now this is the royal psalm. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity and sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Now see, I like that verse. Because every generation, you know, this is the generation of them that seek him. And that's what this generation should be. We are the generation that seek him. We are the generation that's going to greet him. We are the generations that understand what is going on. And that is what you need to understand. And then it says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. There we go again, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Now see, so far you've seen talking about the Lord and the King of glory. The final verse says, who is this King of glory? He says, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. In Psalm 137, 7 through 8, this is vengeance upon Edom and Babylon. Now see, this is a psalm, you know, looking ahead. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. That's why Edom is getting judged in this 63:1. And Psalm 137 records the event of what happened. You know, they were ready for Babylon to raise it to the ground. Go ahead, come on, get rid of them, kill them all, you know. That's your brother. Good friends, good brother. I mean, you know, are you really related to us? Is that why you hate us? You know, with a brother like that, you don't need any enemies. And then it says, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. In other words, whatsoever you sow, that shall you reap. Now that psalm supplicates vengeance upon Edom and Babylon. We see from Obadiah's prophecy, which is taken up again by Jeremiah, and that's what I just read a couple of verses, how shamefully the Edomites, that brother people related by descent to Israel and yet preeminently hostile to it, behaved in connection with the destruction of Jerusalem by the Chaldeans as their malignant, rapacious, and inhuman helpers. Now you see, the northern tribes were destroyed by the Assyrians. That was Sennacherib's dad. And then Sennacherib came back, and he was going to destroy Judah, or so he thought. But instead, his whole army, 150,000 warriors, were destroyed, and the king and his aides fled. And then his sons killed him in the house of their god, I think it is Dagon. The Chaldeans didn't need any help, the Babylon, you know, from Babylon. They didn't need any help. So now we've looked at verse 1. Now this is just the intro to it. And up here, who is he that comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? That's verse 1. Now we get down to verse 2. And he says, this is the question that the prophet Isaiah says. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I mean, you're a glorious warrior. What happened to your garments? Why are they all red? Well, when you're going through war, and this really does give a picture of a mighty warrior who is coming in for vengeance and destroying the wicked. Now see, whenever we look at, you know, the Messiah coming on the horse, he has a two-edged sword. And that's how he slays everybody, with the word of his mouth. So you don't want to be on the other end. See, now remember when the Messiah comes back again, when Yahshua, the army is going to be behind him. The army isn't going to be in front of him. They're behind him. Because as he's riding, the two-edged sword is going to be out there, and he'll slay him with the sword of his mouth. You don't want to get in front of him. You get in front of him, that's the wrong place to be. You know, I was raised by my dad and learned how to use a gun. And one thing, you don't get in front of the gun. You're supposed to be behind the other end. And when you have the Messiah, being on the side of the devil ain't a good place to be when the Messiah's coming, when the Lord's coming, the Almighty. See, yes, he's the Messiah when he comes, but he is the Almighty. You know, he's already done, went to the cross, and he's taken it. You know, I was thinking about that the other day because I listened to John a lot and the whole thing with the Messiah, you know, what he went through. You know, they spit upon him and beat him and made him carry a cross. And the king was, you know, couldn't find any fault with him, but he handed him over to the Jews anyway. And the Jews hated him, just loathed him at that. And you think, you know, when he comes again and they see him and they look at his hands and where he was nailed to the cross, what do you think they're going to do? See, so what I'm telling you is this is real. So you need to pay attention. See, I'm not here to go through this and give you every answer there is. I'm here to go through this and give you a general look at this, and it's up to you to study. Study to show thyself approved. It's up to you to look to this. It's up to you to understand it. It's up to you to look to the Lord. It's up to you to mind your behavior. It's up to you to have faith. It's up to you not to give up. You have to know the Lord. You have to walk with Him. You have to be found in Him. You know, this ain't Halloween night. You go by and I give you a little gift of the Messiah. Here's one Messiah. No, that ain't the way it works. We read the Word of God, and it's a living, breathing Word of God because it came from the Spirit of God, and it's anointed. Now, you see, we talk also about the times of peace that, you know, when we look at it. Now, I call it the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. And during the messianic times of peace, people are not going to learn war. And the thing I like about this is because we find it in a couple of places. Isaiah 2:4. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That's when the Messiah comes again. Micah 4:3. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And we'll get to the other part of it where you take up your plowshares and you pound them into swords to fight. We're looking at the Valley of Jehoshaphat now. And here, I want to remind you that Yahweh, or Jehovah, the name of the valley is Yahweh has judged. Jehoshaphat, Yahweh has judged, or Jehovah has judged. It's a large, wide open valley. And since the 4th century AD, the Kidron Valley has been named the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It is, however, and you'll see this, you know, if you see some of the right pictures of Jerusalem. And even the Muslims do this. They want to be buried, you know, on the slopes of the valley to be at hand at the resurrection. And they want to face the valley. So when they're resurrected, they will face and look out. Unfortunately, the Muslims are going to have trouble unless they're born again. Now, Jehoshaphat comes up here because of the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And this whole thing is more commonly what we would refer to the time of Armageddon. And in the valley, they had unusual religious activity. And it wasn't characterized so much by religious things that they were doing as it was by the religious spirit that pervaded every act of the king, who sought the favor of Yahweh in every detail of his life. Now see, the reason this is important is because there were people who were leaders in Israel that truly tried to please Jehovah in everything. And Jehoshaphat was one of them. David was another one. You know, and Hezekiah was a good king. And Hezekiah was king when... the Assyrians came. Just a minute. When the Assyrians came, and that was Sennacherib, and he parked the troops right at the gates of Jerusalem. But God delivered Jehoshaphat and his fam and the whole thing there. So Jehoshaphat worked to purify the national worship, to make sure that it was the way it should be. He died at the age of 60, according to Josephus. And Josephus recorded that he was buried in a magnificent manner, for he had imitated the actions of David. The kingdom was left to Jehoram, who inaugurated the beginning of his reign by causing the massacre of his brethren. And so he was not very good. And you do see that in the Kings when you go through this. So Jehoshaphat was very, very, he was totally different. So in Joel, this is where we find the Valley of Decision. And the reason I'm going through this is because when we talk about a valley and we're this one who is coming in, there's the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people, for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have. Now in Joel 12 through 16, Joel 3, 12 through 16, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Get you down, for the press is full. Now that is the wine press. And the vats overflow, for the wickedness is great. Remember, even in Revelation, there's two judgments. The wine press of the wicked and the wine press of the righteous. And then another one. I like this verse. Multitudes, multitudes in the Valley of Decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the Valley of Decision. The sun and moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Now see, it's important to understand now through Yahshua, you have a redeeming hope of all the Gentiles who have accepted the Lord and all the Jews who have accepted the Lord. And part of that redemption is both Jerusalem and Zion. And when we look at the 1,000-year millennial reign, we see the Lord ruling from the temple in Jerusalem. And Joel 3, 9 through 13. Now I'm doing this to show you how it relates to that first verse. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war and wake up the mighty men, and let all the men of war draw near, let them come. Now see, this is where it is. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, O ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about, and thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Now see, this is really important. Now there's a couple more verses to that. I'll try to get back to those. But you see, Zechariah 14 talks about the event where when Jerusalem is attacked and they're totally surrounded and they're losing parts of the city. And then all of a sudden a cry goes out that they need some more people. So then they have all these people seemingly come out of everywhere to help them. And they actually turn the tide. And about that time the Messiah shows up. You can read all this in Zechariah 14. And he, when he stands, he's going to literally stand with one foot on one part and one foot on the other part. And there's going to be a big valley that'll rip open. And they're told to flee into the valley. And then the Lord will destroy the enemy. It's a magnificent picture. Zechariah has a lot of this. So you can look at this and see this. Now make no mistake. You know, when we talk about a mighty warrior and all this other stuff, now we can go through all of the wars of Israel. David was a mighty warrior. But the warrior we're looking at now is somebody that is bigger than just a human warrior. This is a supernatural. This is someone who is not only supernatural, but real. And he has come for one purpose, to destroy the wicked who continue to destroy. See, and that's what the wicked do. They destroy. And right now, there's nobody, you know, as much as you put people in jail, you never stop them from destroying. But one day, the wickedness, the evil, there will be no more murderers, killers, rapers, nothing. They're not going to be doing anything to children. He's going to stop it all.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand me? That's what this is about. And when we see this, we see the warrior. I don't care what these people think it is. I see a warrior. I see Christ Jesus up there. I see the end of days. I see him coming and putting down the wickedness and the evil. But make no mistake, he's also delivered Israel and brought him back from bondage. That's another, he delivered them. So when we talk about a deliverer, there's a lot of deliverances God did for Israel. And Isaiah writes about these. And he also sent him into judgment. But we're way beyond this. In verse 12 of that, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the heathen round about. Now we would call this Armageddon. The Valley of Megiddo is another name. And see, we've got a number of these things, but there is a big valley that is wide open where they expect all of this to take out. Now, make no mistake about it, Israel will be surrounded. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Now see, in verse 3, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled on my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. Now Kyle and DeLeish say this, the nations themselves receive the judgment of the winepress, trodden in anger and fury of the Lord, thus their blood is sprinkled on his garments. It is so full of blood, the garments are made red like wine. This is the winepress. Now that's what I'm saying. Now, Colin DeLeish says, when the day of the Lord comes, there will be deliverance upon Zion only for all those who call upon the name of the Lord. For then will all the heathen nations that have displayed hostility to Jehovah's inheritance will be judged in the valley of Jehoshaphat, which means destruction. And then once they die, they're going to face the great white throne judgment. So he says, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled on my garments, and I will stain my raiment. Now see, that's what we call judgment. When it's done, there will be nothing left. We ain't there yet. But we're looking at this over time, both time past and time future. And we're seeing, when you look at prophecy, there's certain dips, which are valleys, and certain heights. And you look across the heights, and you'll see the high points of prophecy across the eons. And you can see how God moved. And right now, if we look out, we can see the coming of the Lord. We can see the judgments. Yeah, there's going to be judgments. And there's going to be people that'll die. And then they'll go to hell. They'll burn in eternal fire. Because the physical body is destroyed, then the soul will be judged. And that soul will live for eternity. In eternal fire or in eternal bliss. Father, thank you for your word. Bless your word to the heart, life, mind, souls, and spirits of those that hear us whenever they do. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay. Well, that was a good word tonight. And I tell you, as the wickedness grows day by day, I look forward to the Lord coming again and destroying the wicked. The wickedness and bringing redemption.
Well, I do too. You know, I mean, you get tired of this.
You do.
I mean, that's all there is to it. We get tired of it. We want the Lord to come, and he will come in his own time. And we're supposed to be working, watching, and waiting.
And every day is closer to his return.
Yep, that's right.
Every day that goes by.
So we're going to be through Isaiah one of these times, not too distant future. We're on 63. We've got three more chapters. And so use this and just think about it. You can get in Isaiah and read more, but the most important thing of it is seek the Lord and turn to him. Okay, Tower.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for joining us whenever you do. We love you, and it's a pleasure to have you here with us. Look to the Lord in all your ways, and he will make a way. He loves you. He cares about you, and he is your help, a mighty help in times of trouble. Please pray for your brethren around the world. Pray for us as we pray for you, and we thank you for all that you do for the King, and may his face shine upon you and give you hope and peace in your heart. And we love you. Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go by our websites at warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Until next time, shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.